Be turning to 1 Samuel 17. We're going to continue from last Wednesday. We call that message Kingdom Jurisdiction. While you're turning there, I'm going to remind you of some verses and also remind you of a dream that I had. I'm going to really not do a much in the way of review from last week because we've just got too much ground to cover. I know it's a good one when I've listened to it twice and I still want to listen to it again and take notes. And that's a good one. You need to hear that one again. I don't care if you were here. There's a lot on it and I don't want to lose it myself. But we're going to cover some more ground tonight. But I had a dream last week. And in this dream, the Lord had taken me back to a message that I did back in 2007 called The Mechanism of Dominion. The Mechanism of Dominion. It's still at my website in the archive section from 2007. And in this dream, the Lord kind of showed an outline of that message, which I listened to again. And he combined it with another message that I'd been listening to, re-listening to. It's an old one from a favorite teacher of mine. And in this dream, he put, it was like two outlines, that I've never really done an outline on them, but I saw this outline, and then he started merging the two together, and I saw how they just lined up. The principles were all exactly the same. And then the verses that started coming to me, if I can find them here, yep. Last week we looked at, you don't have to turn to these. These are all from last week. I'm just trying to get your mind going down this path again. The first one we looked at was Revelations 1:6. It says, Jesus has made us kings and priests unto our God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And, you know, mostly, I mean, we teach about dominion. We have in the past and but most of the things that we teach on seems to be like most of them fall on the priestly side. We teach a lot about prayer. We teach a lot about fasting. We teach a lot about meditation of the word. And these things are all important, and we need to do those things. But I'm seeing that most of that would fall over into the priestly arena. But he has made us kings and priests. One thing I know by definition, if you're a king, by definition, you've got dominion somewhere. Dominion. Jesus is the king. He said about himself, he says, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. He didn't come to establish a kingdom of his own, although he is the king. He says, what I see the Father, he says, let me quote it exactly. The Son can do nothing of himself. This is John 5:19. You can look it up later. The Son can do nothing of himself. Let's stop right there for a minute. Religion doesn't even want you to believe that. The Son can do nothing of himself. You're in good company. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You got that? Say, well, I can't open the eyes of the blind. He says the Son can do nothing of himself. But what I see my Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now see, for years, now this is not the direction I thought, okay, he's already taken over, we're just going to follow him now. I thought I'd do a little more review than that, we're already into new things, all right. For years, I thought that meant, okay, we're going to have a healing line at the end of our service, just like the ones you described that you've had, and we've had them here over and over. And see, the way I was raised in a denominational church, they would teach that, well, if you have a healing line, you have to listen, and whatever the Father says, you know. And that's why they would always add that prayer, if it be thy will, we'll pray you be healed, if it be thy will, Father. Because it gives you the impression almost like, well, he only does what he sees his Father doing. So you'd almost have the idea like in a healing line. Okay, it's his will to heal you, yes. Okay, be healed. Yes. It's his will to heal you, yes, yes. Uh-oh. You sinned last night and you haven't repented yet. It's not his will to heal you. See, if you really study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, you'll find out he always healed them and then said, go and sin no more. But I had the idea from that statement that, well, I thought there was this, and there, I'm not to say that there's not a constant dialogue between him and the Father. I believe there was. But I thought it meant on a, he was choosing on a person-by-person basis, because I'd seen it growing up in church, that that's the way he was doing it. Well, now here's the problem. These are too many to write. We're not going to turn to all these. You can write them down and look them up later. When you really look at Jesus, just in the book of Matthew. Matthew 4:24 said his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases, lots of different kinds, divers, assorted, different ones, all kinds of stuff. Divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. That's a fair group. And he chose which ones that the Father would heal, and he healed them. Now, somebody already looked it up. And it says, and he healed them. That's a single case. Just must be that one incident. Let's go to another one. Matthew 12:15. It says, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him. And he, this one doesn't leave it to chance. It says, and he healed them all. Three more. Matthew 15:30. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb. You ready? Maimed. You're missing something. An arm, a leg, an eye, an ear, something. A brain. I don't know. And many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. If words mean anything, them who? Them all. All right, let's go on. Matthew 19:2. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Matthew 21:14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. So when Jesus says, I do what I see my Father doing, and I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you can do it, do your own homework assignment. I've already done it. Thank you very much. Now, it is true he would walk through villages and towns, and not everybody in that village and town would get healed. But it's also true, if you'll study, not one person that ever came to him to be healed, did he ever turn away and say, it's not the Father's will. Not one of them. Some of them he had to instruct a little bit. Some of them he had to coach a little bit. Go wash in the pool, do this, do that. But the end result, every single person got what they came for. Now, the church at large has been brainwashed by religion to believe a lot of things that just aren't true. If you want to see truth, you have to look at Jesus. And the truth of the matter is, there is no disease from God. Acts 10:38 again, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of who? Oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So when Jesus says to us, his disciples, I want you to pray that the Father's kingdom, that his will be done on earth just like it is in heaven, that's what he's talking about here. What I see the Father doing, the Son does likewise. What does he see his Father doing? He sees his Father healing. We see that too. We're going to have to be delivered from religion. Well, now, Can you see a kingship? Can you see a dominion when he'd come to town? I think about those villages before he came. Blind people. I mean, you can take any city anywhere. Little city, big city. Blind people, lame people, deaf people, maimed people that have been in maybe birth defects or been in some kind of accident, lost a limb of some kind. I mean, and, you know, if Jesus hadn't come to those towns, I mean, those towns had existed for hundreds of years, some of them. And before Jesus came, you're sick and most likely you died the same way. But see, Jesus came so that the Father's will could come to earth. And he was a conduit. Let's say it another way. I said that last week. He was a king through whom God's dominion could reign. And when he showed up, the dominion of God cast out diseases, devils, because it's not God's will for any of that to be going on. Now, that's the kind of dominion that we're headed for. You know, that's the revival that we've been called to go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival like that to our city. And it's just the first of many cities. And I thank God for what we're already seeing, but we got a children's hospital over here where the giants are in the land mocking our God. We've got a giant named cerebral palsy and muscular dystrophy, and you work in a hospital. I mean, you see everything in the world over there. And those devils, let's say it this way, those diseases, if they had a voice, they'd be going, God has no dominion here, and you, puny little believer, you certainly have no dominion. We're the giants in the land, and we're going to keep it just the way it is, and there's not anything that you can do about it. Reminds me of when the first group came up to the promised land. Even though God said, I'll be with you, I will send my angel before you, and like a hornet, he'll drive them out of the land. God had told them. But when they came and they saw with their eyes the sons of Anak, and the warlike people and the circumstances, only 2 out of the 12 spies had a good report. The rest of them all said, we've seen for ourselves. We know what God said, but listen. We be not able to take the land. And we're pretty rough on them, you know, in our services sometimes. That group that had to die in the wilderness. We looked last week at Hebrews 3. It tells you plainly why that happened. He says, this they do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. The reason that they were afraid, they did not know God's ways. God says, the only 2 that had a good report, because what they did, they looked at the same giants, they looked at the same circumstances, and instead of comparing that with their strength, they compared it with God's strength, and they said, we be well able. Caleb said, let us go up at once and possess the land. Now, we've got to be a group of people that knows God's ways. And I mean knows his ways. See, if we're going to study kings and dominion, wouldn't King David be a good one to get some types and shadows from? See, and we all know the story where he wasn't even king. Well, he'd been anointed by Samuel. I'll take it back. He'd been anointed by Samuel. He hadn't officially taken the kingship yet. But the anointing of a king was already on him when he slew Goliath. But see, and through that slaughter there was a warfare that the king went to battle, and a whole nation was delivered out of the hands of the Philistines. But see, he didn't start there learning dominion. See, that's why I had you turn to 1 Samuel 17. That's learning. And be honest with you, I don't think it started here either. But let's learn this principle. You know, David's seen what's going on. Goliath is out there and he's saying, send out a man against me, you know. And Israel's all cowered down. They're afraid to go because Goliath is a giant. I mean, he's imposing. 9 foot tall or something. And they give descriptions of him. I mean, he was an imposing figure. How would you like to go out there against that guy? But David said, I'll go out and I'll defeat him. And he's talking to Saul, King Saul, about that. Look at verse 32 of 1 Samuel 17. Everybody's cowering in fear because of Goliath. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fall because of him. Thy servant," meaning himself, "thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul right here is a type of dead religion, by the way. Saul said to, and well-meaning friends, Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." Now get this. David said unto Saul, "Thy servant," talking about himself, "thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him, and I slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, moreover, now he knew where his victory came from. Notice he says, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." He must have convinced him. Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Notice he didn't say, "Oh, the Lord's with me, I'll go myself." "You go." But now notice, David had had previous victories. It didn't start out on a nation-delivering anointing. It started out with a lion and a bear. And I got to thinking about that. Which one of you wants to face a lion? I'll be honest with you, some of the counseling I've had in the last few weeks, and even as you hear this, you think I'm talking about you. You're just one that I've talked to in the last few weeks, whoever you are. But if I was to, when I was asking the Lord about this, he says, "You're going to have to take some of these people back to the basics." If I heard him correctly, I'm not looking at anybody now. He said they'd be hard-pressed if you asked them, "When was the last time you know you had an answered prayer?" When I was meditating this about the lion and the bear, I saw this picture, because this is the way it seems when I counsel people. Yeah, I was about my father's business. I was attending that prayer center, and I was doing the message. I was praying, and a bear come out. "Did you kill it?" "No, it ate my leg off, and now it's after my arm." "And the lion's in the house eating up my kids and my wife right now. If somebody doesn't help me, somebody help me. We're going down for the last time. This lion and this bear is eating my lunch." And it could be any kind of circumstances. It could be finances. It could be health. It could be marriage. It could be just anything. You name it. But people, it's time to start exercising your dominion as a king. And to do that, we have to do it God's way. You cannot do it any other way and expect to win. So what we're going to do tonight, I'm going to stick real close with an outline that I've got here. This is called answered prayer. God's way. And what I'm talking about tonight is not the Goliath kind. I'm talking about, let's just, see, before David went out and killed Goliath, he had some personal battles before that. The Goliath was against the whole nation. This bear and the lion come out against what he was assigned from the Lord at that moment, which was tending his father's sheep. I don't doubt but what there were previous ones before that. See, God's calling every person in here to be a light in a dark place. But if you can't get dominion where you are, if the lion and the bear is gnawing your leg off, and you don't know how to get victory over that, it's going to be more difficult to go and get it somewhere else for somebody else. Now, I really do wish you could take notes on this one, and if you don't have anything to do that with, you ought to get this message later. And I'm not kidding. This one you ought to take notes on, because I'm just telling you the truth. What I'm about to tell you, if you'll do this, you'll get your prayer answered 100 out of 100. Nobody said an amen. I don't mean maybe so. I don't mean there's a good chance. See, God's ways are unchangeable. He says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. He wants us. And he said the whole reason that first bunch could not go in and possess the land, they don't know my ways. We're going to stay real close to home. We're going to talk about what we would normally call a petitional prayer. We'll get into intercession and all of that at another time. Tonight, I just want to focus on the fundamental, basic you and your needs prayer. You. Did you know it's okay for you to pray? Did you know Jesus said your Father has, he knows what things you have need of before you ask him? All right, let's go to, I'm going to read you two verses. I want you to be going to Mark 11. That's where we're going to look at the fundamentals of faith. While you're turning to Mark 11, we are exhorted in Ephesians 16 to pray always with all prayer. Always with all prayer. Can you tell from the way that's worded there's more than one kind of prayer? Praying with all prayer. People tend to just lump all kinds of prayer together. No, there's the prayer of faith. There's the prayer of petition. There's the prayer of... And it says, and supplication. There's supplication in the Spirit. There's intercession. There's the prayer of edification. There's different kinds of praying. I'm talking about the kind of prayer where you need something and you ask God for it, but you do it His way and you get an answer. You know when you prayed and you know when you got it. Last week I gave you the example of the laser printer. That one was an easy one because I prayed it in the morning, about 6 or 7 in the morning, and I asked for a laser one. Didn't tell anybody about that. And about 2 in the afternoon, someone comes knocking on my door with a piece of equipment under their arm. I say, what's that? It's a refurbished laser printer, and God said it belongs to you. I said, it does too. Come right on in here. I'll show you where it is. See, that's the kind I'm talking about. Where you pray, then there's an answer. Okay? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We'll get into those other kind of prayers later. Now, Jesus also said, if you abide in me and my words, this is John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Did you hear the word you in there? I want to emphasize it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Did you get that? Whether or not your prayer is heard and answered depends more on you than it does on God. You know why? Because by His word, He has already given us the means by which our prayers can be answered. It's up to us to put that into practice and do it His way. Do it the way He said do it, not the way Sunday school said do it. Unless it was a good Sunday school. All right? If my words abide in you, if His words abide in you, they live in you. Abide means dwell there. They're not weekend visitors. His word. They live in you. If that's the case, you're going to be asking for things that are consistent with His will. Okay? Also, don't ever forget the Holy Spirit is your teacher, and He'll help you pray in line with God's word. And that's the kind of prayer that will get the job done. Now, this lesson tonight, I'm going to tell you again, this is about your personal prayers. What we would normally call petitional prayer. Some of these principles overlap into prayer for others, but this is primarily about you and your individual prayers. But if you'll follow this, you can get a yes. How many likes a yes when you pray? You can get a yes every time. Now, number one, let's read the verse. The foundation, this is God's way for answered prayer. It's Mark 11:24. And yes, I know there's verses leading up and after, but we're concentrating tonight on this one way. Now, for example, you say, well, you didn't talk about forgiveness. Read your Bible, verses 25 and 26. At this church by now, if you don't know that you're going to have to walk in forgiveness, man, I don't know what to tell you. Brush off those old tapes and listen to them again. None of this is going to work if you're going to walk around full of strife and hate and unforgiveness. None of it works. Okay, but let's assume you're walking there the best you know how. Okay? Well, how are you going to get your prayers answered? You're going to get it answered His way and not your way. So what did the Master say? How did He say do this? Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, here we go again, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Step number one, the first thing that you got to happen, if you want to get your prayers answered, number one, make up your mind what it is you want from God. Decide what it is you want. I'm telling you now from experience, sometimes the Holy Spirit will help you know what to ask for. Because He knows what's coming and you don't always know. But as best as you know how, if you're going to do a petitional prayer, you've got to decide what you want. Yeah, I said last week, remember we read the verse where those two blind men came up to Jesus? Now normally two blind men, tap, 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 they're walking up to you and you've got a healing anointing. Normally you just kind of assume, he didn't do that. There's two of them, two blind men walking up. They get up to Him and He says, what do you want me to do for you? God wants to know what you want. Let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians, we'll get there eventually. Chapter 4. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Well, He already knows what I want. It doesn't say that. It says, let your requests be made known unto God. Here it says, what things soever you desire. Find out what you decide what you want. And then, now get this, get the scriptures that definitely promise you those things. Only then do you have a solid foundation for faith. Sometimes you'll say, somebody wants you to agree in prayer, or they're just telling you what they're believing for. And you say, well, what scriptures are you standing on? Sometimes they'll say, not any in particular. And say, well, that's what you're going to get. Nothing in particular. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot believe God beyond actual knowledge of what He's promised you. How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? See, religion will always have you thinking others. You know how I know I'm saved? John 3:16. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm a whosoever. See, that takes away from all of the predestination people. They can predestinate all they want. And my Bible still says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart that God's raised Him from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, thou shalt be saved. That's how I know. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I've got His promise on it. So when the devil tells me I'm not, I'm ready for him. Jesus, remember, when He was attacked by the devil, He did not try and think the devil away. That's what most Christians do. Happy thoughts. Just going to have happy thoughts. Let me put on another CD. Happy thoughts. Got to get the atmosphere right. God can't move unless we have the right atmosphere. Never mind that Jesus put on the man's ear during a sword fight. They're arresting him and everything. Happy thoughts. No, Jesus opened His mouth and spoke every time that he spoke God's word. Getting ahead of myself. If my words abide in you, get his scriptures that covers your case. You don't have to have tons and tons of them, but you need enough for you. I don't know how many is enough for you. He told me, by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I want at least three. I don't want some from the Old Testament and some from the New Testament. Because if it's truth, if it's light, there's a shadow somewhere. I want to see both. I like that. All right. The entrance of his word gives life. You cannot believe God beyond actual knowledge of what he says. Most people are praying in the dark, or maybe at best the twilight zone. Faith won't work that way, because your circumstances are going to be strong. They're going to be like Goliath before you. They're not going to be wishy-washy. I can tell you right now what that next circumstance is going to say. Die! I'm here to kill you. I'm here to destroy you. It's not wishy-washy either. You can't be either. You've got to know what he said. All right, now once you find them, we're still in part step one here. Once you find those scriptures, the next thing you got to do is get those promises, those scriptures, fixed firmly in your heart, not just in your mind. You know what I've seen people do, and I'm guilty of it. Everything I'm saying tonight, I'm guilty of all of it. I'm pretty sure. I've been at this a long time. There was a time when I thought all I had to do was get the scriptures out, get them on a card or get them on a piece of paper, put them in my pocket, and I'm ready to go. And maybe I'd say them out loud, maybe I wouldn't say them out loud. That's not how it works, people. Faith, I'm telling you right now, head knowledge is not faith. Faith is an issue of the heart. And you got to meditate those scriptures. Think about what they're saying. Get them down on the inside of you. Once it's in your heart, it will work for you. But head knowledge is not the same as heart faith. But your mind is involved in getting it into your heart. You got to read it. You got to speak it. You got to think about it. I remember in the early days, he was having me meditate that psalm that says the young lions, I think it's Psalms 34:10, the young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I mean, I understand English. It didn't take me very long to understand the sense of that. But as I continued to meditate on that and say it and think about it, I started getting insights into it. I was going, now, wait a minute. It says a young lion, a lion in his prime, not an old toothless snaggletooth lion. I mean, of all the creatures on God's earth, we call the lion the king of beasts, you know. I mean, this king of the jungle. I mean, what is more able to provide for itself than a young lion in his prime? But it says, you know, even at times, even a lion like that might be in lack. I mean, you think maybe a fire in the jungle or an earthquake or a flood, and maybe there's nothing to eat. Even though he's fully self-sufficient, got those muscles and those jaws and those eyes and everything he's been equipped with by God. But it says even a young lion might at times suffer lack and go hungry. I started to get it. But those that seek the Lord, and maybe I'm not the best provider. Maybe I don't have those same qualities. I may not be as sharp as the next guy. I may not have that closing instinct in business. Maybe I'm not like that young lion, but you know what? It says if I'll seek the Lord, even if there's famine in the land, even if there's recession in the land, even if there's drought in the land, it says I will not lack any good thing. That began little by little by little. That got down in my heart. Boy, we haven't been in lack in quite a while now. Well, it's the same in every area of life. Every promise is like that. But you've got to get it down in your heart, not just on a piece of paper in your pocket. Nowadays, I guess it'd be texted in the notepad of your iPhone. You've got to have it in your heart. And then the third part of instruction one, you be ready. I mean, if you're going to do that, once you've found the scriptures and then you've got them really in your heart, you got to be ready at every moment to use those scriptures like a shield, like a weapon against the devil. Because unless he's died, he's coming to steal your victory. by way of circumstances, by way of whatever. Just, you ever just wake up and be depressed and no reason? You're being visited. That's not by accident. And that's not really just you most of the time. There's some devil been assigned against you. Jesus used Scripture to win his battle with the devil. He did not try and think him away. He opened his mouth with the Word of God. And boy, that's the way we got to do it. That is part of God's way. So, did you get that? Step one. If you're going to make a petition, decide what it is you want. Get Scripture that definitely promises you those things. Get it down in your heart and then be ready to use that. Be ready to speak it out of your mouth when the devil attacks. Now, it is really important here that you do not try and go to step two until you have finished step one. Gary, how do you know it's important? Well, because I've tried. I've had an emergency cases. How many of you ever needed an answer yesterday? You know, I needed an answer yesterday. I'm already behind. I need this to work. Let me find my scriptures. I got them. I'm ready now. I'm ready to go, and I'm ready to pray. You're not ready to pray. Not until you finish step one. Did you notice you haven't prayed yet? Step one is all about getting ready to pray. Decide what you want. I'd recommend to you write it down. Man, I'm going to have to speed up a little. Write it down. Once you know what it is you want, write it down. Date it. Because step two is to actually make the petition. Ask God for the things you want and believe that you receive them. A lot of people say, that's not needful. If God wants me to have it, He'll give it to me. That's not what the Bible teaches. My Bible says, your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. You can see God's will by looking at Jesus. But notice, the towns before He got there were full of sick people. All right? What did God want to heal them then? Wasn't His will to heal them then? Of course it was. What God needs is a conduit, a king who knows how to exercise the dominion He's been given. Because notice, it happened when Jesus came to town. Or He would send out His disciples. He would anoint them and send them into the town. There is a time to ask. Now, we're really talking right now about petitional prayer. You decide what you want. Get the verses that cover your case. Get it down in your heart. I mean, be ready to use those against the devil. But then you're going to ask. But ask this way. That you believe you receive it when you pray. Try and get real specific here. So when you pray, believe you receive healing. And you shall have healing. When you pray, believe you receive finances, if that's what it is. And you shall have finances. When you pray, believe you receive, fill in the blank. And you shall have, fill in the blank. Just find God's word for it. See, it won't work if you start just putting stuff in there that He don't promise you. I'm sorry, you can't have seven wives. I'm sorry, man. I'm not saying you can't, but I just, you know, most people, it's not God's will to have 27 Cadillacs. You know, it's just probably not, unless it's part of your calling somehow. I mean, people just go crazy. Well, I believe what I need. What do I need, Brother Gary? I need a mansion, an Olympic-sized swimming pool, and a different colored car for every day of the week, and a new wife, and a whatever. Well, you ain't got no scripture for that. Okay. Now, right on the other hand, if He sends you somewhere like China, and you need a building, do you know God's in China? Give you a building. If you find out that's His plan, you got to have a building. Ask Him for it. Believe you receive it when you pray, and you shall have that building. And they'll take you out to a meal and sign it over to you while you're there. Glory to God. Now, we're talking about your prayers right now, not necessarily your desire for somebody else. That's a whole other teaching. You've got to have their agreement. I had people fasting and praying for me. Now, a long time ago, decades ago. For me to quit smoking when I didn't want to quit smoking. There was a time when I didn't want to. Smoking was my friend. And I liked my smoking friends better than my non-smoking friends. Because I thought they were hypocritical. I didn't like them. You know? And there was a time you could have fasted and prayed all you wanted to, but without agreement from me, you don't have dominion over me. See? You have a dominion, but not over people. Not unless they give it to you. You only have authority in anybody's life to the degree they give it to you. You got that? You can have devils if you want them. You can stay sick if you want to. You can stay addicted if you want to anything. But anyway. Okay, here's how some people miss this. You'll hear them saying it. I believe I'm going to receive. That's not his way. Well, I believe I'm going to receive it. I prayed all right. I believe I'm going to receive it. No. I'm not just getting semantics either. You really got to believe you receive it when you pray. I wish you could listen to tonight and couple it up with last week. Last week I talked about the jurisdiction of your kingship. See, what really happens there, you've got a problem. You're asking your supernatural father about a natural thing. When he answers, he transfers the jurisdiction of that thing into your domain. Last week we talked about the kingdom of God is within you. And that word really means inside. You have a domain on the inside of you, which is where you receive his answer, and it's your kingship, and it is up to you not to let any outsider come and steal what you've received in your kingdom until it's manifested in the earth. I'm going to go write that down word for word later. That was well said. You've got a kingdom on the inside of you, and it's where you receive God's answer first. It's almost like Adam in the beginning. God says, I want you to tend and to keep my garden. Well, this kingship is like your garden. It's what God's assigned you the domain over. And that keeping, the Hebrew word there carries a picture of a hedge of thorns. It's like whoever's keeping that garden, they put up a hedge of thorns that's going to keep out snakes. And you know what it is in your kingship? You got to keep out doubt. Got to fight it like a snake. We'll get to that in a minute. Well, I believe I'm going to receive. That's not his way. If it's God's will, I'll receive. If you're still saying that, you haven't really done step one. The whole purpose of step one is to get you firmly established what is his will. And if you don't know it's his will, you're not ready to pray anyhow. Now, we're not talking about prayer for direction. We'll teach on that some other time. God wants you to start having some answered prayer. Get out of the hole the devil's put you in. Whether it's be health, physical, mental, financial, familial. Dave can make up words, I can too. Hallelujah. Emotional. Whatever deficit you're in, it's time for you to get some answers, honey. What if he'd never had that encounter with the bear and the lion? Or what if he'd lost? You got to have some victories. You need to start establishing victories on a level where you are. And let's gain some confidence and grow. And then we'll take down some giants over this city. Amen. I want to at least get the essence of this tonight. I want to get this part in. Believe you receive them when you pray, and you shall have them. When are you going to have them? No, when are you going to have them? After. Now listen, you're not listening. When are you going to, let me answer it. When are you going to have them? after you believe you have received them. Did you get that? I'm going to say it the opposite way. When do you believe you receive them? Okay, when you pray. But it's before you have them. Before you have them. It's two separate things is what I'm trying to get across to you. There's the believing you receive portion, and then there's the shall having portion. And if you don't do the one, you're not going to have the other. And the hard part is believing you receive when you pray and standing firm with your kingship dominion, received it on the inside of you, and not let doubt and circumstances drive you off of it until it's manifested, and then you have it. See, right there is where you really separate the men from the boys, or the ladies from the girls. Because you start finding out there, are you, which realm is more predominant in your life? Realm of the spirit or the realm of the natural? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Walking by sight says, when I see it, when I feel it, then I believe I've got it. Once it has manifested in your hand, you know, once it's manifested and you've got it like that, there's no need to believe by faith. What have I got here? Something. Okay. Keys. Lord, I'm thanking you for this set of keys. I believe that I have received my set of keys. Wait a minute. They're already manifested in my hand. I'm not in faith regarding these keys. No, I'm really not, because they're already manifested. See, the only time you get to operate by faith is in that time between when you pray and you believe you receive until it's manifested. Once you're actually in heaven, do you know you're not required to believe to go there anymore? You're actually there. That's the point. Now, sense knowledge is important. You know, God gave us our senses for a reason. And we get so used to walking by sight. And we're so, hey, you better walk by sight. If you're looking up and down the street, wondering whether to cross the busy intersection, and you look this way where they're coming from, and the bus is coming, God gave you sense knowledge not to step in front of the bus. Take another one. If your checkbook says you have $1.69 in it, it's not faith to write a check for more than that. It'll take you to jail, haha. Or something. Maybe not for $1.69, but anyway. Sense knowledge faith is important to navigate in the natural realm. You better believe what you see. When it comes to those kind of things, it's okay to walk by natural human faith until it contradicts the Word of God. Once you have believed you received, for example, healing, it's not okay from that point on to walk by sight regarding your symptoms. You got that? Let me show you the difference real quick, and as far as we're going to get tonight. I thought we could finish this tonight. We're barely going to get started. The Bible gives us two perfect examples of the difference between sense knowledge faith and the God kind of faith. Turn to John 20 and be putting a marker in Romans 4. You know, Thomas would not believe that the Lord had risen until he said, unless I see, I will not believe. Remember that? Right on the other hand, Abraham, he believed what God said in spite of impossible circumstances. One is a perfect example of sense knowledge faith. The other one is a perfect example of the Bible kind of faith or the God kind of faith. So John 20, verses 25 through 29. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, and you ought to underline, this is sense knowledge faith. Except I shall see. There it is. Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Unless I see, or except I shall see, I will not believe. After 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, notice, and be not faithless. Faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. But Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I want to encourage you a little bit. Every person in the sound of my voice, you've got a higher faith than Thomas. You've not literally seen the Lord. You've not put your hands in those nail holes. You've not thrust your hand into his side. Yet you believe. Pat yourself on the back. You got some faith. Amen? Now let's look at Abraham, Romans 4. Look at verse 17. Now to Abraham, I mean, here he's 99 years old. His wife's about 100 years old. I may have that reversed. They're old. It says, with him, it's already... when God said they're going to have a baby, she's going to become pregnant, she laughed. She said, am I again going to have pleasure from my husband? That tells us a little bit about his condition. It says about her plainly, it was past the way of women with her. I mean, she's not even... There's nothing, it's not going to happen. I mean, this is impossible circumstances, not just hard. This is impossible circumstances. Look at Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope. That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now notice Thomas's faith was based on what he see and what he could feel. But Abraham's faith was according to that which was spoken. His faith was according to that which was spoken. He heard what God said. God's word is him speaking to you. God's word is him speaking to you. Now he can speak to you plainly also about your particular assignment. But I mean, when it comes to your healing, when it comes to your provision, when it comes to these kind of things that are required to live a normal life, provision, health, the things you have need of, you have God's word on it, and you have to act according to that which has been spoken. I believe because God said it. Gary, how do you know you're saved? God said I was in his word, John 3:16, Romans 10, 9 and 10. I know that I'm saved. His word is truth. And it's forever settled in heaven. Glory to God. That's real faith. All right. Let me just give you step 3 real quick. Well, this is just previews of coming attractions. Now, it's important that you do not take step 3 until you've taken step 2. We didn't get to finish all that about step 2, but step 2 is believe. First off, make your petition. Believe that you receive it when you pray. And then you shall have it. Okay, step 3, I'm going to give it to you, then I'm going to give you one testimony. Step 3 is this. Let every thought affirm that you have received what you asked. Let every thought affirm You're going to have to watch your thought life. Watch your thought life. The battle is in the mind. Never permit a mental picture of failure stay in your mind. Never doubt for one minute that you have the answer. You've got God's word on it. He heard you when you prayed. You believed you received. Now don't doubt that you've got it. And if doubts persist, and they will, don't stay silent. Rebuke them. Resist them. Call them by name. Sometimes I go, doubt, I resist you. Fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. Get away from me. And sometimes it helps for me to just start quoting the scriptures and worshiping and praising God. And sometimes it isn't easy. Constantly say with your mouth the promises of God are true and that the prayer has been answered. People fail because they allow their minds to keep thinking the wrong things. Now, boy, get this part. That dominion, that domain that's on the inside of you. Do you remember when Paul, this is next week, but remember Paul saying what things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, whatever's of praise, whatever's of virtue, I don't have it exactly. Think on these things. Do you know that's because you can? People say, no, I just worry all the time and I fret all the time and I worry all the time. That's your thought life is your dominion. Now don't tell me you don't have dominion over what you think. If you're a chronic worrier, it's because you've practiced. You've practiced it. Get into more of that next week. But I want you to understand, people say, I just can't help it. I just keep worrying all the time. That's your thought life is your domain. That is part of your kingdom. And I mean to tell you right now, you have been given kingship over your thought life. You can choose to think on God's word. You can choose to think on the answers. You can choose to think on the promises. And sometimes that may mean you can't have coffee with that same friend you've been having forever. That all they talk about is gloom and doom and agony on me. I'll tell you one testimony. This was told to me by a friend, a minister that I trust very much. I don't know this man personally, but I believe it. A man was diagnosed with sugar diabetes when he was 39 years old. He began having to take a shot of insulin daily at that age and continued. He became a pastor and pastored the same church for 42 years. But it's a real good church. And they were in the business of launching other churches. And over that period of time, they launched 30 other churches from there. Pretty good church. Now, he began hearing the same kind of truths when he was at age 55. Diagnosed with sugar diabetes, 39. Taking insulin. Didn't even start hearing these things until age 55. At age 69, he was completely healed of sugar diabetes. He had to stop taking the insulin. The doctor's making him stop taking it because his pancreas was producing all that he needed again. Now think about this. Now let's really think about this one. So from age 39 to age 69, for 30 years, his pancreas was not producing insulin. You ask any doctor, if a pancreas has been dead for 30 years, it's not going to start producing insulin again. But his did. So when they asked him, how did this come about? His answer was, it finally dawned on me what Jesus was saying. Now think about it. From the first time he heard these truths, which was age 55, until the time his healing manifested when he was 69, that's 14 years. But he said, it finally dawned on me. Oh, when you pray, believe that you receive. I kept trying to have my healing first, and then I would believe it. But the Bible says exactly the opposite. You've got to believe it first, and then you'll have it. Once it dawned on me, I would spend a minimum of an hour at a time walking the floor and saying, I believe I have received my healing for sugar diabetes. I believe I have received my healing. I believe I have received my healing. And for a long time, I had to keep taking my insulin daily during that time period. And as I was injecting the insulin, I would say, I believe I have received my healing. The devil would say, you're not healed. And I'd say, that's right. I don't have it. I'm not supposed to believe I have it. I'm supposed to believe I have received it. And if I believe I have received it, then Jesus will see to it that I have it. That's the war. Believe you receive when you pray. Receive it into that domain of your kingship on the inside of you. That's where you've got to receive it. Now, some people have acted foolishly and thrown your medicine away, trying to have it without believing they received it. Gary made that mistake and nearly died. Y'all remember when I threw my heart medicine away? Heard some testimony, well, I got healed, I threw my medicine away, so I was prayed for and I threw my medicine away. 7 days later, nearly died. Dave had to instruct me. I come in all confused, and I was doing exactly this. I was jumping over a step. I was trying to have it without believing I'd received it. So Dave says, you better start taking your medicine again. But every time you take it, at least 2 or 3 times a day, you need to do your own preaching, boy. You need to call yourself healed. You need to believe you received when you prayed. Thank God and worship Him for a new heart. And I started doing that, taking my medicine, and many times a day I'd confess it. And at that time I was taking, what was that? I can't remember the dosage now, but several times a day I had to take that medicine. And after about 6 months of doing that, taking the medicine, confessing and worshiping, I had things to do. I don't do that all day, but like him, I take it an hour at a time, maybe 30 minutes at a time, whatever I could do. But I did not do it. After about 6 months, he says, I want you to stop every third dose of that medicine. So I figured that out, and I skipped every third dose. About another 6 months, he says, now I want you to every other dose. Over the course of 2 years, he slowly weaned me off of that medicine. Now, by the way, that heart condition is supposed to be incurable. Once you have it forever. After 2 years, May of 1998, I was out of the prescription. I was fixing to go get it again. And the Lord says, you'll never need it again. Your new heart is manifested. You're healed. That was May of 1998. This is August of 2010. I've never had another dose. Now, I'll be honest with you. About 4 or 5 times in those years, I have passed up wonderful opportunities to believe I wasn't healed. The devil's counterattack, you know. He'll come try your ground again after a while. That's why you got to be ready for it too. But I knew what to do. And I did not license him with my mouth. And he has not been able to bring anything back on me. I'll be healed the next time you see me too. Amen. Did y'all get that? I wish you would get last week's message and this week's message. Get some notes. Wherever the devil is beating you up, wherever the bear is gnawing your leg off or the lion has your neck in its mouth, you can take these very things. You can start climbing out of whatever hole he's put you in. Let's get some victories on that level. Eventually we'll get to emptying out the hospital. You hear me? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. Father, I thank you that we're becoming a people that knows your ways. Lord, we're not going to continue to err in our heart. Father, we're going to pray the way you say pray. We're going to believe the way you say believe. We're going to act the way you say act. We're going to love the way you say love. And Father, we're going to have the results that you intend for us to have, because Father, just like Jesus prayed, Father, our will is your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.